Shalom, shalom, erev tov lekulam. So special to see you all here. Bruchim abayim. Welcome everybody to this special Unity event here in Ra'anana, featuring 15 unbelievable and incredible speakers, rabbanim, rabbaniot, and mechanchim, mechanchot here in our community. Bemet zachinu. We are blessed to have amazing and wonderful and dedicated Torah teachers here who teach Torah throughout the city. And we're bringing together 15 who are available tonight, just a few days before Pesach, to share 3-minute Divrei Torah for the Seder Pesach. And the goal is for everyone to share a powerful idea, something inspiring, something meaningful that you can share at your own Sederim. So make sure to take notes. Don't be a passive learner, be an active learner. And this way, please God, you'll be able to make your own Seder more inspiring. So I'm going to open up, and I recognize that I also need to hold by this time limit. So I'll say as follows: Erev Tov Lekulam. There's so much that's been swirling around us. The world is in chaos. We've been looking outwards towards the world with everything happening in the last few weeks, and yet there's so much work that we need to do inside, internally, as Am Yisrael. So much division, so much polarization. This is a time for achdut. So I'll ask a basic question. Why do we dip the karpas at the beginning of the Seder? Kadesh Rachatz Karpas. What is karpas about? And the technical answer that Rishonim provide, Rashbam, for example, the Rokeach, is that we dip the karpas because we want the kids to ask Kadesh Atinokot El Yishalu. They'll ask, why are we dipping twice instead of once? And that's a technical explanation. I want to share with you a deeper explanation that cuts right through to the purpose of the Seder. This is presented by, it actually starts with Rashi. Rashi explains that karpas, the word karpas means literally green, and this actually reminds us of the ketonet pasim of Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef was given a coat of many colors by his father Yaakov. Pasim means karpas, according to Rashi. And based on this, Rabbeinu Manoach, in his commentary in the Rambam in the 8th parak of Hilchot Chametz U'Matzah, explains that we take the karpas, which represents the pasim of Yosef. And the reason is as follows. We remind ourselves, how did we get down to Mitzrayim? How did we get there in the first place? We got there in the first place because the brothers sold Yosef, machroto leMitzrayim. And this is the cause of our descent to Egypt. And there are actually many subtle allusions to the story of Yosef in the Haggadah. Yerushalmi explained, we have 4 cups of wine. Why? Because there are 4 cups of wine in the stories of Yosef's dreams and with Paro. But most powerfully, Rabbi Eliezer Ashkenazi in his Maaseh Rokeach explains, why do we dip the karpas twice? Why do we dip it twice? The answer is we dip once to remind ourselves how we went down to Egypt. Remember the brothers, Vayitbelu Takutonet Badam, they take Yosef's coat and dip it into blood. And then we dip a second time to remember how we got out of Mitzrayim. And that was when the Jewish people took the blood, Utfaltan Badam Asher Basaf, and they smeared it onto the walls of the house. The message here is that we cannot achieve Geula unless we first understand why we had Galut, why we went down to Mitzrayim. And it's all about Achdut. It's all about seeing the good in others instead of turning people who see things differently than us into opponents or enemies. We need to see the good. We need to create Achdut around the Seder table. Final question. Why is this not said explicitly? And I think the answer is as follows. And that we need to find it. We need to search it out. We need to be the ones who say, wait a second, how do we get here? It's because of the chet of Yosef and his brothers. And so maybe the idea of children asking Kadesh Tinokot Yishalu is really for us adults. How did we get to the place where we are? And how can we raise ourselves up and elevate ourselves and create Achdut and Geula this Chag HaPesach? That's my short vort for the Seder. I'd like to call on Harav Avichai Katzin, who has a little bit of a tight schedule. Harav Katzin, toda rabba shekibadata otanu. And we're going to hear from Rav Katzin, and some of the speakers are in Hebrew, some of them are in English. Bechavod, Rav Katzin.
So I don't know whether I'm in Hebrew or in English. I think when I watched the picture, you know that most of the people understand English better than Hebrew. Am I right? Let's vote. Okay, I'll talk in English, if you don't mind, to brush up my English. You know, at Leila Seder, we say one of the parts of the Haggadah is the Hallel. But when we look carefully, we see that the Hallel at Leila Seder is very strange. Why is it very strange? Because first, we never say Hallel at night. We say Hallel only during days. In the Mishnah, Maser Megillah says specifically, Kol HaMitzvot HaNohagot Bayom, Nohagot Kol HaYom. And the Mishnah tells it about Kol HaYom Kasher Likriat HaHalel, Mimizrach Shemesh HaMevo. So we say Hallel only during the day. We never say Hallel at night. Here, we say Hallel at night. Second thing is that usually we're not allowed to talk, to speak during the Hallel. It says, Shulchan Aruch says, and we're not allowed to say anything in the middle of Hallel, unless it's someone, an important person who gives you shalom, noten lo shalom, yachzir lo shalom. And here we say part of the half of the Hallel before the meal and half of the Hallel afterwards. And I speak, I assume that despite the fact that ein mesichim bishat asuda, we talk a few words during the sehuda, during the meal. So how are we allowed to talk at the middle of Hallel? Point number two. Point number three is that usually we say Hallel when we stand. And Chazal learned it, Hallelu et Hashem, Ha'avdei Hashem she'omdim beveit Hashem. Usually we stand. Here we sit. Well, this is the third difference. And the fourth difference is that usually we make a bracha, a blessing on the Hallel. But here, at Leil HaSeder, we don't make a blessing. Why don't we bless? Why don't we say, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Shekidishanu Mitzvotav Tzivanu Alein? It's a very strange Hallel. The answer that might explain all these differences was given by the Ran, one of the Rishonim. And he says that there are two types of Hallel. The one, the usual Hallel, he called it, Hallel shel Korim. You read the Hallel. But the type of Hallel this night is not Hallel of Korim. It's Hallel of Shira. We sing. We don't say the Hallel. You know, to say the Hallel means I'll give you, you know, this text and you read it. No, you don't read. You sing. And I want to quote a very interesting thing that is written by a great Talmud Chacham. His name is Ramesh Sternbuch. He's from the Badatz of the Yidah Haredis. But he says something. He used to live many years in South Africa. So, you know, Shivte. And he used to live in South Africa. And he says something very interesting. I will read what he says in his shoot. And he says, Nir'eh, Shechiyuv Alel Midin Shira, Yesh Lomar Et Alel Beshira Vitlavut. With enthusiasm, you have to sing Bevet HaKnesset, and especially Kol Sheken Bamirat Alel Shebelel HaSeder Yesh Litlahev Shezikanu Balayla Hazel Alelo Leshabcho. And then he says, Mi Sheomer B'Torah Kriya Velo B'Tlaavut V'Simcha. Someone, you know, he says Dalel like he says, I don't know, something else. Lo yatsa yedei chovat halel zo. And he learns this because the Shulchan Aruch adds one word when he speaks about the Hallel. And he says that be'erev Pesach omrim et ha'halel b'ne'ima. B'ne'ima means by singing. You know, it reminds me of that Siddur in Eretz Yisrael says that at Leil Yom Ha'atzmaut we sing and Shir HaMa'alot b'mangina shel ha'tikva. It fits, you know. They tell me to sing this night. Bechol dor vador chayav adam lirot etzmo keilu yatzal mitzrayim. I would like to finish by sharing with you a tremendous story, what emphasizes what is the meaning of feeling, being glad, what we were zoche. In Tel Aviv, I think 30, 40 years ago, maybe more, and there was a Rebbe. His name was the Rebbe of Sadegura, Rebbe Avraham Yankov of Sadegura. Every year, at the day of independence, Yom HaAtzmaut, he used to come to the big shul to daven with the people, and people saw that he is very glad, something special. He has a special feeling. And they asked him what happened, and he told them that then, in 1938, he was in Vienna, and the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, gave him a Nazi flag and told him to hang the flag. And he says, I hope that the Mirza Hashem, I will be zoiche to hang a flag of a Jewish state in the land of Israel. Then, and they give him a brume matate and told him and to do so in front of all the Hasidim and in order to insult him. And he said to himself, I wish Mirza Hashem, I will be zoiche to do this on in the land of Israel. And he says, I was zoch. Therefore, he says, and he said, every year, Hey Beyar, I take a flag of a Jewish state, and put it high to thank Hashem that I was zoch to be a Jewish flag of a Jewish state here in the land of Israel. And he takes the batate and goes out, and you know, Rebbes, past nicht. You know, to go do so in front of people. So he said, I wake up 4 o'clock and go outside and thank Hashem that I was zocher here to do so in the land of Israel. This is the meaning we have to feel. You know, only 8 years ago, where were we? And now we are here. We have not to say Shira. We have to sing Shira. Chag Sameach.
Oh, Chag Sameach, Rav Katzin.
I hope I was understood.
Can, can, bevadai, bevadai. Pam abba bevakasha beivrit. Mitzuyan, okay, Chag Sameach. Okay, we're moving on. We're moving on to Tammy Levy from Matan. Tammy, bechavod, great to have you on. Please share with us Dvar Torah on the Haggadah.
Thank you, Rav Eitan. And so, Rav Katzin, we didn't share notes because I've actually never met you, but I'm actually going to pick up where you left off. So we're really thinking in the same wavelength this evening. So I'll share.
This is the privilege of the first one.
It's my privilege to be able to continue on the topic. So we have a Mishnah, Masechet Psachim, which says, "V'chol dor v'dor chayav adam lirot et atzmo ke'ilu hu yatza
b'mitzrayim." I just apologize. I'm sorry. I have a sheer incarnation wrong, so I have to leave. I won't be able to listen to you. Sorry.
We'll send the recording.
And the Mishnah continues, "V'igadat al bin chavayom ahu le'mor ba'avur ze asa Hashem li b'tzeti mimitzrayim." In every generation, a man must see himself as if he had come out of Egypt. As it says, "And you shall tell your son on that day, this is done because of what Hashem did for me when I came out of Mitzrayim." The Rambam sharpens this, and the Rambam, in a way, changes the wording. He says, "V'chol dor v'dor chayav adam leharot et atzmo." In every generation, a man must show himself as if he had just come out from enslavement. So we ask ourselves, what is this change of wording that the Rambam does, and what's the effect of this change of wording? And really what it's telling us is that we have to approach the Seder and approach all the mitzvot that we come to do at the Seder with this hitlahavut that Rav Katzin was speaking about. We have to show ourselves, and we have to create an atmosphere of freedom for ourselves. The Ramchal in Mesilat Yesharim says, "Achrei ha-ma'asim yimshechu ha-pe'ulot." After the actions, so you will come to influence yourself through the things that you do, okay? So we say, why do we go through all these motions, the 4 cups, the haseva, the maro, the matzah, even some families dressing up, decorating their entire households, or eating in a different room, creating an atmosphere where they feel this is not just a regular meal, this is a meal where I feel like I am someone different, someone that's experiencing something outside of the norm. And we do these things so that we can bring our Seder to life, so that we can infuse our Seder with this concept of hitlahavut, acting out and immersing ourselves in activities that we don't really do. The objective of this is that we are able to bring this to the next generations. And the only way that we can really hand over to the next generations is if we show them that we are, in fact, excited about Pesach, and that's not just about the cleaning and how tired we are, and you know, we've been on our feet the whole time, but that we get there and we act out the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. Rav Kook says that Yetziat Mitzrayim is actually going to be the spring for the entire world. I'll quote it. He says, "Yetziat Mitzrayim tisha'er le'ad ha'aviv al kol ha'olam klo." This is from a book called Megid Yerachim. The exodus from Egypt will always be the spring for the entire world, which means that the ideas that we take out of this time are not only relevant to that time, but our enacting out this event of Yetziat Mitzrayim through our Pesach Seder and through all our lead up to this Pesach Seder really taps into what the energy of the time is, and that's this energy of freedom. That this freedom should really come, and it should continuously be relevant to us, and that the power of the story should really be alive for us and should give us hope, not only in that time, but continue to give us hope throughout history. And you know, I wanted to just bring it to contemporary times. I wanted to share with you that this time last year, we sat on a Zoom, and the Zoom was really our only option of getting together. And now we're free to choose to be on Zoom. Effectively, this was a decision that Rav Eitan made, that we would get together to share Divrei Torah tonight, but we could have met in the shul, we could have met at Asad Yad Rabbanim. But the fact that Zoom tonight and Zoom today is an option and it's a choice, it shows us that we're really living in a freer time and in a freer experience than we were this time last year. Please God, it should only continue. But I just wanted to share one last idea, that this idea of freedom and of the Exodus bringing the spring for the whole world was really an idea which we saw in the writings of the founding forefathers of Zionism. And these were not people who were necessarily connected to religion as we know it. They might have been people who were indifferent. But yet this story of Yetziat Mitzrayim and this concept of hope and this concept of freedom is what drove them forward. And it was something which was so ingrained in the identity. So I just want to give a quote from Herzl. When I was a boy, the story of the Exodus made a very deep impression on me as I heard from my teacher at the Jewish school and as I read later on my own about the miracles and wonders of the Exodus. That is why it amazed me and also saddened me that the teacher could tell the tale of the redemption of Israel from slavery, from their oppressors and torturers in such a cold and dry manner. I studied the face of the teacher as he told about Israel's Exodus from Egypt, from slavery to redemption. This concept of what a slave was to become a free person, from darkness to light. And that face, his face, remained passive and relaxed. And we can really understand that in the words of Herzl, he couldn't digest how with such a story of unbelievable hope, a teacher could stay with a blank face. To him, this concept of bringing our nation to freedom was something which had to be approached with passion, with forward moving. And so I just want to end with this to say that this is our tafkid now, to take this passion that we saw with the founding fathers of the Tzionut. I could give you wonderful quotes also from Katznelson and Ben Gurion, but the time is short. And not only Jewish leaders, also Martin Luther King spoke about Yetziat Mitzrayim. And they were infused and enthused by this concept. And that this idea of freedom should really be for us, for our spring, whether it's people that have been redeemed from their own Netzarim, their own internal struggles, or whether it's Jews that have come from Ukraine and now see freedom in Eretz Israel, or whether it's us sitting and choosing to be on a Zoom because we just want to, you know, have a comfortable evening, and we always have this choice and connect to this unbelievable concept of what it is to be free. Pesach Kasher v'sameach, and thank you, Rav Eitan, for this chut to share with Divrei Torah with you.
Thank you so much, Tammy. Thank you. Beautiful, beautiful Dvar Torah. We're moving on to Rabbi Stuart Weiss. Just going to Rabbi Weiss, if you could just share your video camera on the Zoom. See your name here. There we go, Rabbi Weiss. Okay, and I'm also going to put we're going to spotlight. So Rabbi Weiss, it's a pleasure to have you on. Rabbi Stuart Weiss is the head of the Ranana Jewish Outreach Program, and gives shiurim throughout the city. Rabbi Weiss, bechavod, great to have you with us.
Okay, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Having a little trouble hearing you, but thank you very much, Rav Eitan. It's a beautiful idea, and I hope everybody will use these ideas, bring them to your Seder table. I'm going to try to be very brief. We said 3 minutes, and I'm actually going to try to do that. And I want to say, I think one of the most important things about the Seder is that it's a teaching opportunity. And it's not just reading through it, but it's drawing conclusions and actually introducing those into our life. There are many, many themes of the Haggadah, but I think the most pervasive theme is that of Hakarat HaTov, is appreciation, gratitude, recognizing the good that other people do for us. And this starts from the very beginning with the Kiddush, the first step of the Seder, where we're talking about the creation of the world, being thankful that we were created. We're talking about Yetziat Mitzrayim. We see this in the Dayenu, that each step of the way we have to be appreciative. We see it in the statement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzilenu Miyadam, from, he saves us from the hand of those who would harm us throughout history. It goes all the way through the Seder, including to the very last moment, the very last page. And this is what I want to draw upon. We know that the last thing we do in the Seder is we read the Haggadah. And we know that it's much more than a kid's story, although it's great for the kids. And it talks about our struggles throughout history and all the empires and nations that want to harm us. But there's a very interesting question about the Haggadah, because what happens in the Haggadah? We, of course, are the one kid, the helpless and sometimes vulnerable, often vulnerable nation that God takes care of us. And what happens? That comes along the cat and attacks us. And whoever, whichever empire the cat may be, Babylonia or Rome or Persia, Media, go on and on. And then comes the dog, and the dog bites the cat and comes along the stick and beats the dog and so forth. Well, the cat tried to harm us, so we can understand why it deserved to be attacked by the dog. But the dog helped us. Why then is the dog itself punished and harmed by the stick? The dog should be rewarded instead of being punished. The other ones we understand, but the dog helped us. So there are a number of different approaches to this. The practical reason, perhaps, is that we don't have to reward the dog, because dogs are the natural enemies of cats. And that's why the dog did it. And so attacking the cat wasn't for our benefit. It was because instinctively, that's what the dogs do to cats. They fight like cats and dogs. But a deeper idea is that we have many shluchim, harbe shluchim lemakom. We have to recognize that when we are saved by some outside force, while we have to be appreciative, the bottom line is, it's Hashem that is the one that we have to thank. Whatever is happening to us by outside agents, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who is causing that to happen to save us. And here at the very end of the Seder, we can't end by, without stressing that point again, that whatever happens to us in life, it is, and the good fortune that we have and the ability to survive and our longevity and our prosperity, all of this comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the lesson we have to be left with. So although the dog, yes, it happened to help us, but the dog is not our savior. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is the one, Shmatzilenu Miadam. And we have to recognize in everything we do and impress upon ourselves and upon our families to give thanks always, Hakarat HaTov, for everything we have in life, that it all comes Min HaShemayim, Mekadosh Baruch Hu, because he loves us, he wants to give to us, and ultimately he will protect us. That should be something that accompanies us throughout all of our lives and the history of our family and children, grandchildren. Ad Biyat HaMashiach, Mimher V'Yameinu. Amen.
Amen. Shkoach, Rabbi Weiss, thank you so much for these beautiful words. I'm going to ask Rav Dani of Kilat Shiftei Yisrael to share Dvar Torah b'chavod. Rav Dani.
Thank you very much, Rav Eitan. It's a great initiative, and thanks for the opportunity to share Dvar Torah about the Haggadah. I want to focus actually on the beginning of the Haggadah. We have the mitzvah of Vigadat al-Bin Chabayom Ha'ulei Mor. And right at the beginning, the son asks, Manishtana, he asks these questions about why this night is different from all the nights. And the father's answer, Avadim ha'inu l'paro b'mitzrayim v'yotzeinu Hashem elokeinu misham v'yad chazaka v'zorah netuya. V'ilu l'otzei kadosh baruch hu et avoteinu b'mitzrayim hari anu v'aneinu v'nei v'aneinu b'shul avadim ha'inu l'paro b'mitzrayim. So this is very astounding, really, answer. He says, you know, we were slaves to Paro. And then he goes on and he says, if God had not taken us out of Mitzrayim, taken actually our forefathers out of Mitzrayim, we and our children and our children's children would still be slaves, would still be subjugated in Mitzrayim, which is frankly an astonishing statement from a historical and political perspective. Are we really to believe that 3,000 years later, we would still be slaves in Egypt? After all, there's nothing would have happened that would have changed anything. And the Mefarshim actually pick up on this, the Avraham Ben-El in his Haggadah, Zevach Pesach. So he says, well, we don't know what would have happened, but the point of the Haggadah, the point of the story of Mitzrayim, and the point of all of the Makot was to show how strongly Paro was going to hold on to us and how strong Paro himself was. It took 10 plagues to convince Paro to let us go. What would it have taken, in fact, if not for the plagues? What would it have taken in order to get us out of Mitzrayim? It would have been almost impossible. So yes, maybe we would still be slaves. That's one possibility. The Chatam Sofer has a different idea. I always found this very fascinating. I learned it many years ago. He says, actually, if you look carefully at the words, there's a switch in the paragraph. I don't want to go into it because it would take too long, between Avotenu and Anachnu. Is it our forefathers who were slaves in Egypt? Is it we who were slaves in Egypt? Is it our sons who would still be slaves? Is it their sons? The Chatam Sofer actually concludes that this is a manifestation of the principle of the Ramban, of Maaseh Avot Siman Labanim. Avram Avinu was the Avotenu in the beginning of the paragraph. He is the Av who was brought down to Mitzrayim. And if Avram had not been taken out of Mitzrayim, then Maaseh Avot Siman Labanim, we would not have been taken out of Mitzrayim. We know that Avram went down to Mitzrayim, and after a little bit of a sichsuch with Paro, eventually was able to leave with a Rechush Gadol, by the way. And so, Maaseh Avot Siman Labanim, we also left Mitzrayim for Rechush Gadol. But one other idea about this, I forget exactly in whose name I heard this idea. It might have been Rabbi Sachs, but I'm not sure. So it was pointed out to me that, in fact, there are people on earth, there are people in this world who are still in some form of slavery after many, many, many years. There's a people in India called the Dalit. In English, we call them the Untouchables. At some point, these people represented 1/6 of India's population. It's about 160 million people. And these untouchables, they are stuck in their lower caste. They are basically defined as being essentially like third class people, almost like slaves. And they've been that way for over 2,000 years without change. Over 2,000 years they've been like this. So in a way, and we have, you know, we can think of other uncomfortable examples. For those of us who come from the United States, we can think of some pretty uncomfortable examples about entire classes of people who are stuck either in poverty or in varying degrees of unfortunate circumstances. And Pesach is a time to simply say, not to make this into a social justice speech, but to simply say, thank you. Thank you, Hashem. Baruch Hashem, that was not our fate. For some reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. Said, you are not going to be stuck like this. You're going to be a light unto the nations. You're going to teach people about tolerance and about love of God and monotheism and about being dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to Mitzvot. And you're going to teach people about how Hashem freed us from Mitzrayim. And so in a way, yes, we literally could have potentially been slaves, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of it so that we would be able to be a light unto this world and to change everything around us.
Okay. Thank you, Rav Dani. I'm going to ask Rav Yuki Meir of Kehilat Lechun Ra'anana to share the next Dvar Torah. Thank you, Rav Yuki. Rav Yuki?
Shalom Lechulam. Shalom. I want to talk today about one of the most important guests in the Seder, והוא אליהו הנביא, ואני אחלק את הדברים שלי לשני חלקים, כמובן מאוד מאוד קצרים. א', למה אליהו הנביא בכלל אמור להופיע בסדר, וב', לספר סיפור, זה יהיה העיקר, סיפור על אליהו הנביא. אז יש כל מיני הסברים למה, למה אליהו הנביא צריך להופיע בסדר, אבל אני חושב שאחד מההסברים החשובים לדבר הזה, הוא התגובה שאליהו הנביא אומר לקדוש ברוך הוא, כאשר הוא שואל אותו מה הוא עושה שם במערה, והוא אומר שהוא עזב את עם ישראל כי הם עזבו את בריתו של הקדוש ברוך הוא, כן? את בריתך עזבו. ואז הקדוש ברוך הוא אומר לאליהו הנביא, אתה באמת חושב שאתה מכיר מספיק טוב את עם ישראל? אתה חושב שהם עוזבים את הברית? אני אראה לך בכל שנה ושנה שהם שומרים את הברית, כי מכיוון שפסח זה כריתת ברית, בין עם ישראל לבין הקדוש ברוך הוא, לכן אני אשלח אותך לשם. זה כמובן מסביר למה אליהו הנביא נמצא בעוד מקום אחד, וזה כולנו יודעים, וזה בברית, בברית מילה, כי הקדוש ברוך הוא שוב אומר לו, נראה לך שעם ישראל באמת עוסקים את הברית, אני אראה לך איך אחוזים עצומים מעם ישראל שומרים את הברית הזאת, את ברית המילה, כמו שאחוזים עצומים מעם ישראל שומרים את הברית הזאת של ליל הסדר, ולכן אתה תלך לשם פשוט כדי לראות שאתה טעית בדבר הזה, ועם ישראל שומר את הברית. ובאמת, יש בתור ילדים, הרבה מאוד פעמים אנחנו מחכים לראות את אליהו הנביא, ויש המון סיפורים מאוד מאוד מדהימים על מה שנקרא גילוי אליהו. גילוי אליהו זה אומר אדם שראה את אליהו הנביא. המון סיפורים, ואני אספר את הסיפור שאני הכי אוהב בנושא של גילוי אליהו הנביא. חסיד אחד שאל פעם את הרב שלו, איך אני יכול לזכות לגילוי של אליהו הנביא? אומר לו הרב, לך לכפר מסוים. יש שם אישה אחת אלמנה, עם ילדים יתומים, ואם אתה תעזור להם לעשות את ליל הסדר, אתה תראה בסוף את אליהו הנביא. טוב, החסיד, שכמובן כמו חסיד מאמין למה שהרבי אומר, הולך לאותו הכפר, דופק על הדלת, נכנס, רואה שבאמת האלמנה עם הילדים אין להם שום דבר, והוא על חשבונו קונה הכל, כל הרהיטים שצריך, וכל האוכל שצריך, וכל הבגדים שצריך, וכל מה שצריך, בשביל שהם יוכלו לחגוג את הסדר. הוא יושב איתם בליל הסדר, וחוגגים את ליל הסדר, כמובן אומרים לו תודה רבה, הוא חוזר לרבא, ואומר לרבא, רבא, הבטחת, אני לא ראיתי את אליהו הנביא. אומר לו הרבא, מה אתה חושב שפעם אחת? תחזור לשם שנה הבאה, ואז תראה את אליהו הנביא. שנה שלמה החסיד מחכה לאליהו הנביא, ואז כן, הוא הולך אל הכפר, עומד לדפוק על הדלת, ואז פתאום הוא שומע דו שיח שיש בבית. ילד, אחד מהילדים היתומים, שואל את אמא שלו, אמא, תגידי לי, גם השנה יהיה לנו סדר? ואז האמא עונה לו, אני לא יודעת. אם אליהו הנביא יבוא עוד פעם, אז יהיה לנו סדר גם השנה. ואז האיש הבין שהוא אליהו הנביא. ואני חושב שהסיפור הזה יפה יותר, לפחות לדעתי, מכל סיפורי אליהו הנביא, מכיוון שהוא לא בא להגיד לנו, תחכו עד שאליהו הנביא יבוא, והוא יעשה הכל, אלא אתה יכול להיות אליהו הנביא. את הסיפור הזה סיפרתי לפני כמה שנים בדרשה אצלנו, בדרשת שבת הגדול בקהילה, ואמרתי לאנשים, רבותיי, כל אחד מאיתנו, יכול להיות אליהו הנביא של הרבה מאוד משפחות, יש הרבה מאוד משפחות עד עצם היום הזה, שמתקשות לערוך את הסדר, שמתקשות לספק לעצמם צרכים בסיסיים, וכל אחד מאיתנו יכול להיות אליהו הנביא של אותם האנשים, כי אני חושב שבאמת אחת מההכנות החשובות והטובות ביותר לליל הסדר, היא ההכנה של לדאוג לאנשים אחרים, כדי שכל אחד מאיתנו כאשר הוא יושב בליל הסדר ויאמר, כל דכפין יתה ויכול, כל דצריך יתה ויפסח, הוא ידע שהוא באמת דאג לעוד אדם אחד בעם ישראל, או אולי אפילו כמה בני אדם, שיוכלו לשבת ולעשות את הסדר, והוא נהיה אליהו הנביא. תודה רבה.
רב יוקי, תודה רבה. Beautiful, beautiful story. Thank you so much. I'm going to ask רב דוד הורוביץ of the Ra'anana Community Kollel to share our next Dvar Torah. David, great to have you here with us, and thank you for joining us. Share with us the Dvar Torah for our Haggadah.
Thank you very much, Rav Eitan, and thank you for the initiative. It's a great idea, and it's an honor to be part of it. I'd like to just say a very quick idea from the Haggadah. Towards the end of the Haggadah, we say, "Ubechol dor v'dor chayav adam lirot et atzmo ki ilu hu yatzam mimitzrayim." In every generation, we have an obligation to see ourselves as if we left Egypt, and then that immediately launches into the next paragraph of Fikach anu chayavim lehodot lehalel. Therefore, we have a mitzvah to say Hallel and to praise Hashem, and then we launch into the actual Hallel. We say full Hallel on Seder night. And many of us by then are already eager to get to the matzah and to the soup and to the main course. And then especially after the meal. Very often we think to ourselves, okay, the Seder is winding down. Let's just like race through the rest of the Haggadah. There's the Hallel and then there's the Nirtzach with the songs. But we have to understand it's important that actually the Hallel is the climax of the Haggadah. The Hallel that we say is the climax of the Haggadah. And in fact, there is a question that's asked that on the seventh day of Pesach, the Gemara asked the question, why don't we say full Hallel on the seventh day of Pesach? And the Medrash says the reason why is because there's a well-known Midrash that says that during Kriyat Yam Suf, the angels wanted to say Shira. They wanted to sing to Hashem for saving the Jewish people. And Hashem says, my Egyptian people are drowning in the sea, and you want to say Shira? It's not a time to say Shira when there's tragedy and human loss of life that's taking place. So the obvious question is, so then how did the Jewish people sing Shira? Az Yashir Moshe, how did the Jewish people sing Shira if Hashem's multitudes are being destroyed? And the answer is that there's a difference between when you sing Shira as an outsider looking in, whereas if you're singing Shira because you are on the inside experiencing the salvation. The angels were on the outside looking in. They don't have a right to sing Shira or to say Hallel because they're not the ones that are experiencing the salvation. And there's tremendous loss of life that's going on. The Jewish people, however, since we were the ones that were being saved, so therefore we have a right to say Shira. We have a right to say Hallel. The question is, so how come we don't say Hallel on the seventh day of Pesach? The reason is because we are not experiencing the Kriyat Yam Suf on the seventh day. Even we, looking back in history, are outsiders looking back at an event that took place in history. We don't have a right to say Hallel because on that day there was tremendous loss as well. So then how come we say Hallel on Seder night? On Seder night, do you know how many hundreds, perhaps hundreds of thousands, if not millions of firstborn died? The amount of people that died in Egypt on the night of Makat Bechorot was much more than the amount of Egyptians that died at the Yam Suf. 600 people died at Kriyat Yam Suf. We're not allowed to say Shira. So how can we say Hallel tonight? The answer is because on this night, we're not outsiders. We're not recalling an event that took place 3,350 some odd years ago. We actually are leaving Mitzrayim tonight. And therefore, as people that are actually experiencing the salvation firsthand all over again, we have the right to sing Shira. And that's why the Haggadah puts the two together. It says, "Behold, v'derchayv adam lirot." Why does a person have to feel that he left Egypt? Because if we don't feel that we left Egypt tonight, we have no right to say Hallel. Because then we're merely outsiders, we're spectators looking in. And as spectators looking in, we don't have a right to say Hallel. But because tonight we're not spectators, we are actually people that are walking out of Egypt. We're walking out of Mitzrayim. We're experiencing firsthand, directly, the salvation of Hashem. So therefore, we have a right to say Hallel. So therefore, before we launch into Lefika Hanachnu, it works out beautifully. We say, because a person has to reach the level that he feels that he left Egypt, Lefikach, therefore, we have an obligation to say Hallel tonight, and a full Hallel at that. And that really is the goal of Seder night. The goal of Seder night is not just to relay dry historical facts of what happened so many years ago. The goal on Seder night is to inspire ourselves and to impart that inspiration to our kids, to build up the experience in a way that we ourselves feel that we left Egypt. We feel that we owe our very lives to Hashem and to the kindness that he showed us on that night. And therefore, we burst forth. The hallel that we should say should not be a rote hallel. It shouldn't be a hallel of burden, of obligation. It should be a hallel that launches from the depths of our heart based on the appreciation that we feel having experienced that we left Egypt. So Bezra Hashem, we should try to reach that level of experiencing the Exodus as much as we can attain that feeling of experience, and we should use that to belt out a heartfelt hallel from the depths of our neshamas, and in that way, that inspiration will take us not only through Pesach but through the entire year as well. So, thank you very much for these few minutes and for your time.
Thank you, Rav David. Beautiful, beautiful idea. Thank you so much. Rabbi Shon, ata itanu?
Erev tov.
Ken shnia, ani atzig otcha, eifo Rav, ani, beseder, mitzuya. Shnia, okay. Tov, אני רוצה להציג את רבי שון. רבי שון הוא הרב של מזרח העיר. אנחנו זכינו שיש לנו רב גדול בעירנו, שפוסק הלכה. והרב, תודה רבה שעלית על זום להעביר דבר תורה על ההגדה. תודה רבה.
ערב טוב, וישר כוח גדול לרב איתן על היוזמה הנפלאה. כבוד הוא להיות כאן יחד איתכם. ואני רוצה לומר משהו קצר על פסוק שחוזר מספר פעמים בהגדה. והפסוק הוא, בעבור זה עשה השם לי בצאתי ממצרים. אנחנו יודעים שכשאנחנו אוכלים מצה במרור, אנחנו אומרים בהגדה, מצה זו שאנו אוכלים על שום מה, על שום שלא הספיק בצקם של אבותינו להחמיץ, מרור זה שאנו אוכלים על שום מה, על שום שמרו המצרים את חיי אבותינו במצרים. ואז המחשבה שאנחנו חושבים כשאומרים את הדברים האלו, שאנחנו אוכלים את המצב המרור כזכר ליציאת מצרים, או כזכר למה שהיה במצרים. אבל אם נדייק בפסוק שאומר, בעבור זה עשה השם לי בצאתי ממצרים, נראה דבר הפוך. אמנם, אבן עזרא מביא שיש שאומרים שהפסוק הזה צריך להפוך אותו. ולא בעבור זה עשה השם לי, אלא זה בעבור עשה השם לי. זאת אומרת, אנחנו לוקחים את המצב המרור בגלל שהשם עשה לי. אבל רש"י לא מסביר כך. רש"י אומר, בעבור זה עשה השם לי בצאתי ממצרים, הכוונה, בעבור שקיים מצוותיו, כגון פסח, מצה ומרור. אפילו יש פה דבר מדהים. זה לא שאנחנו אוכלים את המצב המרור כדי לזכור את יציאת מצרים, אלא הפוך, יציאת מצרים הייתה כדי שנאכל מצה ומרור. בדיוק הפוך מה שאנחנו חושבים. כל יציאת מצרים הייתה למה? כדי שאנחנו נזכה לאכול מצה ומרור. למה כל כך חשוב לאכול מצה ומרור שבגללו יציאת מצרור? היא באה לספר את גדולתו של הקדוש ברוך הוא, את שליטתו של הקדוש ברוך הוא בעולם, בא לבטא את התפקיד של עם ישראל, שעליו נאמר, עם זו יצרתי לי, תהילתי יספרו, לספר את תהילות השם. למה יצא עם ישראל ממצרים? עם ישראל יצא ממצרים כדי לספר את תהילות השם, כדי לספר על גדלות הקדוש ברוך הוא, כדי לספר על שליטתו של הקדוש ברוך הוא בעולם. זה תפקידו של עם ישראל, לכן הוא יצא ממצרים. וזה נעשה לא רק על ידי דיבור בפה, אלא גם על ידי אכילה בפה. משום שהדיבור של עצמו, יכול אולי להישמע כאיזושהי אגדת עם, כאיזשהו סיפור, כמו שיש הרבה סיפורי אגדה. אבל כאשר אוכלים, לא רק כאשר אוכלים, כאשר עושים מצוות מעשיות, כאשר אתה משקיע זמן, ומשקיע כסף, בהכנה, בניקיון, המון מאמץ, המון תאה כספית, למה עושים את זה? בשביל סיפורי עם לא היו עושים דבר כזה. אם זה לא היה אמיתי, לא היו עושים את זה. ולכן שמקיימים מצוות מעשיות, זו העדות החזקה ביותר, שיש פה דבר אמיתי. שזה לא רק סיפורי אגדות, אלא דבר שהתרחש באמת. וכך מספרים את כבודו של הקדוש ברוך הוא. גם מספרים את גדולתו של הקדוש ברוך הוא. ולכן, כל יציאת מצרים הייתה, בשביל שנזכה לאכול מצה ומרור. ואת הדבר הזה, אנחנו אומרים לבן, שאינו יודע לשאול. וחשבתי לעצמי, מה זה בן שלא יודע לשאול? מה זה לא ידע לשאול? הוא לא יודע להגיד מה? הוא אילם? הוא לא אילם. הוא לא יודע עברית, אז הוא יכול לשאול באנגלית. הוא יכול לשאול בשפה אחרת. מה זה לא ידע לשאול? לא מדובר פה על בן תם. בן התם אומר, מה זאת? לא מדובר על בן הרשע, לא מדובר על בן לחם. מה זה שלא יודע לשאול? לא יודע לשאול, הכוונה היא, שהוא לא רואה. הבן הרשע, הוא רואה שיש משהו מיוחד הערב, הוא מטריס, הוא בא בטענה, הוא אומר מה עבודה זאת לכם. הבן החכם רוצה להבין. הבן התם שואל שאלה סתמית. הבן שאינו יודע לשאול, הוא לא רואה. הראש שלו נמצא פה, הראש במקום אחר. והתפקיד שלנו בליל הסדר, לעורר בו עניין, להביא אותו לכך שישאל, להביא אותו לכך שיבין שיש פה משהו מיוחד, להבין אותו, להביא אותו לכך שיבין שכל היציאה ממצרים הייתה בשביל הערב הזה. אז שנזכה בעזרת השם לקיים את המצוות המיוחדות של הלילה הזה, ונזכה להעביר לילדינו את המסר החשוב הזה, שהוא עניין, שיבינו מה המשמעות, מה עומק העניין, שאנחנו נבין את זה קודם כל. אחרי שאנחנו נבין את זה טוב, נוכל גם להעביר את זה הלאה. שיהיה לכולם חג כשר ושמח.
תודה הרב, תודה הרב, וחג כשר ושמח. I'd like to call upon my friend of Effie Kleinberg to share the next Dvar Torah. Effie gives a daf insight every single day. You could join in his WhatsApp group. Bechavod, Rav Effie.
Shkoyach, Rav Eitan, for the beautiful set of shiurim. And when we come to the Seder, what we'll notice is many, many conflicts. We have conflicts that start from the beginning and take us all the way to the end. When we drink the wine, we're both feeling a sense of freedom, of royalty, of richness, of luxury. But at the same time, it reminds us of the blood. We drink red wine specifically. We put on a kittel. Many have the custom to put on a kittel, a white kittel, which is supposed to be like the Kohen Gadol, priestly purity, loftiness, royalty. But at the same time, the poskim say that the kittel also represents the tachrichin, the death garments that are put on a corpse. And many, many other examples, the maror on the one hand and the matzah on the other hand. Sometimes we lean. We have the chacham, we have the rasha. We have so many conflicts. Even in the story of Rabbi Akiva and the
10-minute thing,
even in the story of Rabbi Akiva and his colleagues, we have combatants. We have rabbis who agree.
Rabbi, I unmute yourself, but please stay on mute for the remainder.
We have Rabbi Eliezer, and we have Rabbi Eliezer's counterparts, the people who argue with Rabbi Eliezer. And throughout the Seder, we're experiencing these conflicts. And the truth is, it doesn't make any sense, because the purpose of Seder is to feel that there's logic, there's flow, there's a framework, there's a rationality from step to step. But all of a sudden, everything we see these complex taking us all the way through. When we come to Korech, we know we put matzah, we put maror, we put something that's bitter, we put something that we put it all, and we wrap it all together. And the truth is, Pesach is just a window into the Jewish experience in general. We go to a Jewish wedding, it's the greatest moment of simcha, and we break a glass. So much of Judaism introduces complexity, introduces conflict. Seder, says the Maharal and many of the other deeper sources who explain this concept in the Haggadah and in Pesach, what it means to have logic in Judaism is we introduce conflict. Vayhi erev, vayhi boker. In order to appreciate redemption, we have to go through slavery. In order to appreciate what it means to be free, we have to appreciate what it means to not be free. To have the land of Israel, we appreciate what it means to be in exile. So much of our Jewish experience on an individual, communal, and a national level, both in the current and throughout history, is all about conflict, is all about complexity. Clarity comes through complexity. Seder night is all about going into these moments of difficulty, of challenge. The minute we do that, the richness and the beauty and the inspiration of what Pesach can really be for each of us comes through. We should be zocheh, each of us and our families, to have a beautiful Chag Kasher V'Sameach. Thank you so much for listening.
Shkoach, Rav Effie, thank you so much for the beautiful idea. We're going to hear now from Rav Roi Kohen, who's the Rav, who teaches at Moriah, Beit Knesset Moriah. Rav Roi comes from a family from Djerba in Tunisia, and maybe Ulai Niskeli Shmo Ksal Mea Torah Shel Tunisayim, Nireh, Dachavod Rav Roi.
Shalom, Beshu, Bemet, Yishar Koch, Yuzma, Yifei Fia, Toda Rabah Shehizmant Otan, Yitztaref. דווקא הפעם לא הכנתי משהו מג'רבה, דיברנו על איזשהו עניין של השראה. אגדות של פסח יש לכולם, והרבה. יש אגדה של פסח של ילדים, והרבה פעמים זה דרך הציור, אתה מקבל איזושהי המחשה, איזושהי תפיסה חדשה, שלא תמיד לאפשר לי לשתף מסך, יש תמונה שכל שנה אני חייב להתבונן בה, לפחות להיזכר בטוב, כי היא מרגשת אותי ממש. אז אני ברשותכם אעלה את זה. זה לקוח מתוך האגדה היפהפייה הזאת של פסח, שיש זה מדורה באנגלית וכולי, משהו באמת יפהפה, יש תמונות לא מהעולם הזה, יש את התמונה הזאת, שהיא זאת שמרגשת אותי במיוחד. היא באה סביב הקטע של, והיא שעמדה לאבותינו ולנו, שלא אחד בלבד עמד עלינו לחלותינו, אלא שבכל דור ודור, עומדים עלינו לחלותינו, והקדוש ברוך הוא מצילנו מידם. והצייר גדי פולק, ממחיש את זה בצורה מדהימה. אתה אומר, רגע, מי אתה? איזה עם אתה? אתה 3,300 שנה מאז מתן תורה פלוס, לא היה לך טנקים, לא היה לך מטוסים, ואתה מסתכל על ההיסטוריה, חווה אותה, נמצא תמיד איזשהו באמצע, ורואה דברים ענקים שבאים ומאיימים עליך, והיא שעמדה לאבותינו ולנו. יש איזושהי הבטחה שאומרת לך, אתה נצחי, אתה שייך אל הקדוש ברוך הוא, הקדוש ברוך הוא הנצח, הקדושה, הנצחיות. והתמונה הזאת שהיהודי שעומד ככה מול כל הזוועות ההיסטוריות, וכל פעם אש גדולה שמאיימת לחלות, שהופכת בסוף להיות איזה עוד מוצר, איזה עוד גחלים עוממות, והוא מומחי זה כל כך יפה בצורה של האשן, שנשאר אחרי כל הרעש הגדול שהם עושים בהיסטוריה, אם זה מימינה, המצרים, אם זה אחרי זה הבבלים, היוונים, הרומאים, יש לנו פה את הצלבנים, יש לנו את הקוזאקים, האינקוויזיטורים, הנאצים, זה כבר מההיסטוריה הקרובה, ולצערנו הרב, כמו שראינו גם ונוכחנו בשבועיים שלושה האחרונים, גם הישמעאלים, המחבלים שמנסים לפגוע בנו, ולעצור את התהליך הנפלא של גאולתם של ישראל. ואיש שעמדה לאבותינו ולנו, אתה מסתכל על זה ומקבל איזושהי פרספקטיבת רוחב, ואומר, וואו, וואו, התמונה הגדולה היא גדולה. יש לי אחד מחבריי, הרב מרקוביץ' ממעלה אדומים, שאל שאלה יפה, אומר, מה זה העניין של שבת הגדול לפני פסח, וסימן שלם בשולחן ערוך על זה. מסביר מאוד יפה, הוא אמר, שלפני שנכנסים לפרטי הדינים של פסח ו... הרב אישון בטח פרוד, והרב איתן וכל הרבנים פה תרודים בלי סוף ושאלות לקראת פסח, עסוקים והמון המון פרטים, 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 פרטים. אומר לך שולחן ערוך, חכה, בוא תראה את התמונה הגדולה. שבת הגדול, תראה את ההיסטוריה כולה, תראה את המימד הנצחי שקורה פה, ואתה הולך לחוות אותו בלילה הזה ולתאר אותו. מתוך הגודל הזה, תיגש לפרטים, ואז אתה רואה את הדברים, ומסב לך שמחה אמיתית. באמת של יציאה מעבדות לחירות, בעזרת השם, חירות מושלמת במהרה בימינו, אמן.
אמן, רב רועי, thank you so much, תודה רבה על הדבר תורה שלך, שנזכה לחג שמח לכולם. עכשיו I'm going to call upon Gina Younger. Gina, please share with us דבר תורה, I'm just going to pray for the spotlight, and Gina teaches at Matan, at Shiftei, and teaches many of the Benot Mitzvah throughout our city. בכבוד, Gina.
Thank you, Rabbi Ben David, for the initiative, for inviting me to participate. Thomas Gray in 1742 wrote the poem, An Ode to Spring. And Frank Sinatra sang, spring is in the air. And in truth, we have had a very difficult winter. Just 2 weeks ago, we were all mekubalim basmichot. We all were covered up in blankets with scarves and sweaters. And look, indeed, spring is in the air. In Sefer Dvarim Parshat Re'eh, the Torah says, שמור את חודש האביב ועשית פסח להשם אלוקיך, כי בחודש האביב מוציאך השם אלוקיך ממצרים לילה. Observe the month of Aviv and keep the Pesach unto the Lord thy God, for in the month of Aviv, the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. The word שמור את חודש האביב, observe, keep, the spring, the month of spring, is a directive of the Sanhedrin to constantly adjust the calendar to ensure that Nisan and the holiday of Pesach always falls in the springtime. And how do we do this? We accomplish this by the 13-month leap years, like we had this very year, in which we have a second month of Adar, to make sure that Pesach always falls in the spring. We need to ask ourselves, what's important, or why is it so important for Pesach to fall in the spring? So on the pasuk in Sefer Shmot, Hayom Atem Yotzim B'Chodesh Aviv, Rashi quotes the Midrash, and he says that Moshe turned to the Jewish people, and he said to them, look what a chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for you. He took you out in a time where it wasn't too hot, and it wasn't too cold, and it wasn't raining, just like Goldilocks said, it was just right. And indeed, the Jewish people should not complain, as Hashem had chosen the perfect weather, the perfect time for Yetziat Mitzrayim, the time of spring. So the weather would be wonderful and perfect and enjoyable for our journey out of Egypt. But surely we understand that there has to be a deeper reason than just the weather is very pleasant. Spring represents renewal and rebirth. And after the cold winter, the earth bursts forth with new life. And we see this especially here in Eretz Israel. And it's described so beautifully in Shir HaShirim, exactly the Megillah that we read on Chag HaPesach. Hanitzanim niru ba'aretz et hazamir higia v'kol hator nimtza be'artzeinu. The flowers have appeared, and the time of the songbird, the voice of the turtle dove, is heard throughout the land. So too the Jewish people went from darkness to light, from slavery to freedom. There is always winter before spring. And in winter, it's a time of preparation. What do we do in winter? We gain strength. Our experience in Mitzrayim formed us into a nation and taught us to be sensitive to the ger. Ki gerim hayitem be'eretz Mitzrayim. Over and over again, the Torah tells us our experience in Mitzrayim, even before Yetziat Mitzrayim, is to teach us how we need to be sensitive and how we need to be careful. We need to remember what it was like to be a stranger in a strange land. There are many reasons given for why we put karpas on the keara. Rav Eitan spoke about it in the beginning. One, so that the children will ask. That's one of the reasons written in the Mishnah. And another very practical reason that's given is so that we have a bracha, bo'et pri adama, because we're not going to say that bracha when we eat maror. But there's another reason, possibly, for having something on the keara that reminds us of spring. And indeed, spring is so important to the holiday of Pesach that the keara should not just be brown, but there should be something on the keara which represents spring. I know it's a very long-held tradition to have a potato as karpas, but really, people, okay, as Dorothy said, we are not in Kansas anymore. We are not in Eastern Europe where people could not find green vegetables. Go to the shuk, go to the Shemitah store, find a green vegetable, brighten up your keara. We are in a place in Eretz Yisrael where we can swap our potato for a green vegetable. And in truth, it will be a question that your kids and your Seder guests will ask. Manishtana laila zeh? We actually have something green instead of a potato on our keara? Is that what's really happening? And if you really can't swap your potato, if it really means a lot to you to continue that minhag, then have flowers on your table. Bring blooms into your house. Remember that this is the holiday of spring. Nisan is Chodesh HaGeula. And indeed, may we all see the end of this winter of exile and see the spring of the people of Israel. Wishing you all a Chag Sameach.
Thank you, Gina. Okay, next we have Rabbi Craig Kasev, who's doing some very interesting work with Machon Herzog, building curricula for Jewish schools around the world, and also we're blessed to have him teach in Shiftei as well on a regular basis. So, Craig, I'm just going to, put the spotlight on you. Just got another 1 second. No? Okay, start, and then I'll adjust it.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Rav Eitan. The idea I'm going to share with you is, on the one hand, the Haggadah zones so much into detail. And yet, on the other hand, it zones out into the sweep of history, into a big story. It zones into the detail as we think about the experience of Egypt, the charoset, the mortar, the salt water of the tears, the maror of bitterness, the broken matzah, maybe even for the hoarding of slaves, and of course, all the elements of the narrative where we speak about how difficult it was to to be a slave in Mitzrayim. But then it zones out from time to time to the broader story. The story of Brit Bena B'Tzarim, where we get to learn that the spread of history all the way from Abraham, that exile was part of the story. Dayenu will also take us through stages of history. The Halel HaGadol, in fact, will take us all the way from creation through to the end of days. Halel itself is an experience of telling a story of the sweep of the Jewish people and what we have to praise for. This is one of the messages as expressed by Rav Gedalia Shor and many others. It's a good question to ask at your Seder. When Rabban Gamliel says we should say Pesach, Matzah, and Maror, he always asks, it's in the wrong order. Historically, we should have placed Maror at the beginning. First came the bitterness, then came Pesach passing over, and then the Matzah symbolizing going out and redemption. Why is Maror in the wrong place? I should leave it there so you can discuss it at your Seder. But I think what he's trying to teach us is that in the moments of trauma, we find it very difficult to understand. We find no comfort in philosophical explanations, and these do not remove our suffering and our distress. It's only after the event, once we're out of it, that we can sometimes grasp the flow of events and how things fit into a bigger picture. It's only after the matzah that we feel comfortable about Maror as well. And so it was after the matzah and the redemption in haste that we saw it was from the hand of, and we could integrate it into our broader picture, broader story. And so as we focus on the detail and feel the trauma, we come like the person who brought their fruits of the Bikurim and told the whole story of gratitude. They felt themselves to be part of a much bigger story, and they could understand that which took place before. And so just like Moshe Rabbeinu, who after his first attempt to free the Jewish people, he says, Me'az ba'ati al paro, from the moment I arrived, you've just made it worse. He made the mistake with us because he only looked in that moment. But when the Jews went through the sea, he again sang, Az Yashir Moshe Uvin Israel. He realized that this was just part of one greater big story. And Pesach's our real opportunity to share with our families and bring our families into that tremendous big story, to use the detail, but use it to rise above the detail so we feel part of this tremendous story we're all part of. Thank you so much to everyone for listening, and Chag Sameach.
Sameach. Thank you, Rabbi Craig. Beautiful, beautiful idea. Okay, final speaker of this evening is Rav Hanan Atlas of Kilat Oel Ari. And Rav Hanan, it's great to have you here with us. And so you're gonna be the nirtzah. You're gonna be the closer for this evening. So b'chavod. And we're pretty good with time, so we're doing all right. So b'chavod.
Thank you so much, Rav Eitan, for this wonderful initiative. So interesting. The few I managed to listen to, I apologize, I wasn't in time to hear everyone. I had a previous engagement, so I'm sorry, but I'm really happy I got to hear, to listen to whoever I did hear. And thank you very much, Rav Eitan, for this initiative. The prophet Amos speaks of three exoduses, ours, the one from Mitzrayim, but then he mentions two others. He says, Halo et Yisrael eleti meretz Mitzrayim uplishtim mikaftor va'aram mikir. And actually, the contrasting, because what he's actually saying, what do you think? You are so special, the children of Israel? You're not that special. What do you think? You are special because I took you out of Egypt? Big deal. I took the Philistines out of Kir, out of Kaftor, and I took the Arameans out of Kir. So, okay, so you're another, for me, you're just another people. So, if that is so, why is Yetziat Mitzrayim so important? Why do we feel we do have a special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And I think the answer is not so much, or not only, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, but the way we responded to what happened. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did take the Philistines out of Kaftor, and he did take the Arameans out of Kir. And the moment they got out from wherever it is they got out from, wherever they were slaves maybe, wherever that was, and they were redeemed, they were freed. But then instead, they just looked at each other and said, boy, were we lucky. History is on our side, and went on with their lives. But Bnei Yisrael didn't. They almost did, but they didn't respond that way. It was with Amalek, Asher Karcha Baderech. Rashi says, what is Karcha Lashon Mikre? Amalek is the first one that Bnei Yisrael met. And Amalek probably came to Bnei Yisrael and told them, boy, you were lucky. You know, history is on your side. And maybe almost convinced, maybe convinced them to see things that way. And it was a battle, perhaps a spiritual battle, side by side with that physical battle that was against Amalek. And then Am Yisrael had to choose whether they're going with the Mikre, with Asher Karcha Baderech, with the incidental way of viewing history, or are they moving on to the Kriyah, to the calling to Kabbalat HaTorah, Vayikra El Moshe Bayom HaShlishi. So they had the choice, and they decided to respond, God, we realize your hand. It wasn't by chance. We weren't lucky. You, God, were looking after us. Thank you very much. And I think that's why a key word in the Haggadah is Lefichach. In the Magid, we narrate the story of our exodus, of our coming out of Egypt. And then we say, Bechol do vado, chayav adam lirot et atzmo ke'ilu hu yatza mimitzrayim. It's not only our ancestors. We should view ourselves as if we came out of Egypt, saying we should have a personal relationship with God as well. And we end that by saying, Lefichach, therefore, we don't just leave the Exodus drying in the air. Okay, God, we were lucky. History was on our side. No, Lefichach, for. Anachnu chayavim lehodot le'alel le'shabach lefa'er. It is incumbent upon us to praise, to glorify, to say thank you. Lemi she'asa la'avoteinu v'lanu et kol ha'nisim ha'ilu, to whoever did these miracles, to our ancestors and to us, these great miracles. Hotzianu me'avdut lechirut, took us from out of slavery to freedom, yagon le'simcha, from hardship to happiness, etc., etc. It is the lefichach that is so centric to the Haggadah. I think that is why we don't wait with the Hallel to after Shulchan Orech, because it's very interesting. We say the Magid, and then we eat, and then we say Hallel. Now, it would make sense that we would say the Hallel after, we'll start the Hallel after the meal, but we don't. We start the Hallel before the meal, we stop in the middle, eat, and then continue the Hallel. Why? I think because we just said the Magid, and the Magid is not enough. To just narrate the story, even though we mentioned God, it's not enough. We must praise him, we must thank him, we must bond with him and declare that this is not just a story. This is a bonding with God. God took us out of Egypt, and we clinged on to God and never let go ever since. And therefore, Chayav Adam Lirot Et Atzmo Keilu Hu Yatza Mimitzrayim, each and every one of us has a personal connection to God. And that connection comes into fruition on the night of the Seder, when we actually feel that care of God on that Leil Shimurim. I wish us all a Pesach Kasher V'Sameach. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rav Hanan. And let's just give a round of applause to all the Rabbanim, Rabbaniyot, Mechanchim that shared Divrei Torah this evening. Really powerful evening. Amazing, amazing ideas to take with us for the Seder Pesach. And this was a real show of Achdut in a time when people are divided and polarized. We came together. We shared Divrei Torah from many kehilot and Bezrat Hashem. Ushit shenizkeh legeula shleima b'mehrah b'yameinu. Amen. Erev tov lekulam. Get back to cleaning. Get back to everything that you have to do.
Chazak uvoruch l'vaneitu.
And tada rabba lekulam.
תודה רבה.
כל הכבוד.
תודה רבה.
תודה רבה. Thank you. חג שמח.
תודה. We'll share the recording just now. I'm going to put it up on... we'll put it up.
Okay. תודה רבה וחג שמח.
תודה רבה וחג שמח.
שמח לכולם, חג כשר ושמח.